And welcome to the episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Okay, so I got a candidate for probably the new host for the new NEP podcast.
Yeah.
Wait, who's that?
Nope.
Hey, Over the Horizon! Is that?
No. Oh, John Denver!
Wait a minute, is Tyler? Is that you?
No, apparently it is.
That was beautiful. I'm yes. Being brought to tears.
Yeah. Now, 9 points for John Denver. -1 point because you should have done the Mark Strong from Kingsman: The Golden Circle. That was
for that rendition better. I mean, it is a good rendition. Granted,
that's a ballad. That was a ballad of him proclaiming it from his heart. I cried tears. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, after many weeks gone, Tyler's back.
Yeah, you wish that it was time to replace me. You wish, but it is not. I am back. To me, it feels like I never left.
Oh,
I'm sure it felt like I was gone for a very long time, having to listen to these two just rip on me for a month.
Yep.
And I know. I'm sure the listeners were offended. I'm not upset about it. You just let it go. We'll let bygones be bygones. One day, these two will not be able to make the podcast, and I will do it myself. And I am going to roast both of you.
Tyler, how many episodes have we done?
231, I think.
Guess how many I haven't done.
That would be zero.
That's exactly right. And that's why I'm the host. Because this does not happen without me. But yes, Tyler is back, and we actually have a very packed show for you today. And so, of course, we're going to get all started off with what have you been playing? And Tyler, since you've been gone for 4 weeks, you can't tell me that you haven't been playing things. So
yeah, you know, I was going to say nothing. I haven't really been playing anything. No, I have been playing one thing, a crazy amount. That would be Fire Emblem Heroes. I came out of retirement, of course. No, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is the game that I've been playing a crazy amount of. I have become addicted once again to the grind of Smash Bros. Having a wired connection changed the game for me. I have had some seamless matches online. Last week, I was intending on returning because I finally had a computer sorted out. But I was at my older brother's bachelor party, so I couldn't make it. And I played tons of Smash Bros. With the attendees there. That was fun. They were in awe of my talent, which was odd because I'm not actually that good. But it was a great time. So right now, I have been playing like characters I've never used before is my theme currently. So Wii Fit Trainer is one that I've been like really enjoying learning how to play. Wii Fit Trainer and Rosalina and Luma and like all the forgotten Smash Bros. Characters. Mr. Game & Watch, I've been going back and learning how to use them and just playing a ton online. So that's been great. I'm very excited for whoever they announce as the next character. I think it's going to be hard to top Pyra and Mithra in terms of fun and Sephiroth in terms of hype. But with two characters to go, I'm sure Sakurai is saving the best for last. And I was joking about playing a lot of Fire Emblem Heroes, but I guess that's the big news. I came out of retirement.
We know.
I think I'm going to re-retire, though, because I just don't enjoy the game. They announced that they released a new version of Dimitri.
Another one.
Am I not supposed to come out of retirement to summon him? And I did summon him with like 20 orbs. It was great. I got like 3 copies of him. It was pretty sweet.
Wow.
But now that I have summoned him, I have to actually play the game. And I just don't think it's a fun game. So here's my next big venture. As you guys well know, there rumors are swirling about a new Fire Emblem game being announced at E3 this year, a remake of sorts. Genealogy is the current theory. So I have been going back and I'm going to play every single Fire Emblem game that I own, but Iron Man style. And now Iron Man style is when a character dies, they're done. They're dead. Don't reset. And when your lord dies, you have to start the whole game from the beginning again.
Bold.
So basically a Nuzlocke. Yeah,
it's a Nuzlocke. Exactly. It's a good way to put it. So my first game I broke out my Game Boy Advance SP, this little blue thing that I had for 20 years, and the R button is not working.
Huh.
So I can't check the enemy units, and it's impossible to play on the Game Boy Advance. So I might have to hook up the Wii U and buy the games there. I think they were on the Virtual Console, so we shall see how that goes. That's my future, but my present is a lot of Super Smash Bros.
Ah, okay. So here's the thing, though. Even though you have officially proven me, Will Wright, that you did indeed come out of retirement, you can say all you want you're going to re-retire, but once Gatekeeper comes out and choose your legends, you're going to go and get him.
Gatekeeper's pretty sweet, but is he? I mean, listen, Dimitri Alessandro Blathen. And they nailed it. You know, the anger quotes, I love them. They're great. The Chris Hackney knows how to convey a very angry young boy. And I appreciate that.
Sure there's also great Keeper as well, but don't forget about Marv himself. Marv himself is also coming.
That's a good point. I probably will come out of retirement again then. You're right. The story is so bad. The story, once again, is just like, it's atrocious. Will, can you explain to me why, and this is a Will question, Will okay. is an anime expert, the Night Lady with the wings, not the one, not Dagger, but the other one who...
Not, it's actually called, Not.
Yeah, Not. Like, why, what, is that just a thing that they do in anime? Like, she's like, falls in love with this villain?
I'm not really sure regarding to the, I mean, I'm not sure if it's probably some connections with the Asgardian lore back to Norse lore. I have no idea because I know like they are reference to the ravens of Odin that I'm aware of. But in regards to the whole romance thing, I think that is just pure anime plotline.
Okay, because she like falls in love with this like weird looking bad guy who's like really weird looking.
Yeah,
and then she tries to kill you, and then like 2 minutes later, she's like, "Oh, he was just using me." And I'm on your team now. It's just really
sad. I mean, and we've talked about this before, but as much as I love Fire Emblem Harem, it's really demeaning to women. And this is a perfect example because here you have this incredibly strong, lordly woman, and she falls in love with a punk, and she acts like a schoolgirl. So she went from like regal queen to schoolgirl in all of 5 seconds. And then when her sister calls her out on it, her exact words is, "He's like my type, you know this?" Like, really?
Yeah.
Really? Come on.
So
try. Try
it's
harder.
So, bad.
So now I will admit that the story, like, it's really get like stretching itself, and now there's like, you know, summoning clones that
are
husks, and there's another summoner out there, but it's not the summoner. It's like, whatever. I play it for orbs, man. I just play it for orbs
pretty
and see
much.
Where this all goes.
Pretty much that, the orbs, and of course the bonds events, which, yeah, I know they bring back the old Choose Your Legend. Yeah, the revival number 4 with the three houses. So yeah, it's basically the build of your bonds events is actually the reason why you want to stay, and not the actual main plot line of Heroes.
Yeah, that's pretty true. The choosing the Fallen one was pretty good. I liked the Fallen Edelgard dialogue. That was pretty good.
All right, Will, how about you? What have you been playing?
For me, surprisingly, I've been a little bit quiet, but also been equally as busy. So, as usual, continuing on with Overwatch, and a little bit here in progress of with Pokemon Snap, just continuing on with getting the shots and all. But the one thing that actually was released not too long ago was the Disguise 6 demo that, Todd, you mentioned, as well as our boss Cooper Keefe. And yeah, personally for me, I love the Disguise series. I tried it out, and so I tried out the Disguise 6 demo. Boy, it for better or for worse, it's definitely a transition. And I mean, I get it. Nippon Ichi Software is trying to like break the formula. It's now full on 3D models to use now, so it's not the longer the 2D sprites. So it's no longer part of like the whole grid mechanic that's been known for these past games. It is full on 3D, but performance on it, especially on handheld, I'm not holding my breath. I mean, granted, like, we have games that run better, but this demo for Disguise 6, I'm worried. I mean, if it's in dark mode, it won't have any problem. If it's in dark mode, I have one problem. But the fact they have a performance mode or a graphics mode to either choose in between, that is something to be a little bit worried about. I mean, the comment sections in YouTube is pretty much right there. Got it correct. Like, there is definitely performance drop. There's some stuttering, especially if you go on graphics mode on handhelds. So, but overall, there's just a lot of things that does good at the same time does bad. I won't go too much into details, but if you're a hardcore fan of this Gaia, you may be possibly disappointed with this entry. I'll just say that much. I mean, the game itself won't be coming out until, I believe, in June, at the end of June. But the quickness is still there, the storyline, the funniness is still there, all in spades. But gameplay-wise and everything else, yeah, just for any fans, hardcore fans, definitely I suggest you be careful and put your expectations a little bit on the lower side. That's all I'm going to say. So if you have the Nintendo Switch and you want to try it out, definitely do so. But I highly recommend that you keep your expectations low. That's the only thing I can say.
That's a shame. I was looking forward to that one.
It is definitely good. And the thing, I guess, is no surprise they actually showed it in the trailer is because like now, like in prior games, you more or less have to grind. That's always has been one of the major either critiques or strengths, is that the Disgaea games, you definitely have to grind where actually you have to put in the effort. Here in Disgaea 6, they incorporate some things from mobile games. They actually have an auto battle and auto repeat. Like, I was talking to Matt the other day, and like I was actually letting the game play by itself while grinding for me. So it kind of felt hollow. So I let the game basically run by itself, leveling up for me. And it's like, okay, it's good if you want to lose, if you don't want to waste time by yourself. But I feel hollow that the game's basically playing by itself. That's one thing I'm like very caught in between. So you easily get up to like high levels really quickly. I think they kind of scale it down for this entry, but there's just something that's like lost in transition to like the new generation with this entry. So I'll just leave it with that because we got to get going. But yeah, Disgaea 6, the demo, here's hoping they definitely smooth things out, but I won't have too much high expectations to say the least. But hey, new free DLC at the launch, so why not that? And quickly, just briefly, we also have a new update for Monster Hunter Rise, which, yeah, we'll definitely talk about later in the podcast. But there's just Capcom continues to deliver on the Monster Hunter front, so I'm just happy. I can't wait. After the podcast, I'll definitely be trying out the new monsters. So overall, yeah, it's been good. It's been good.
As for me, I've honestly been really busy this week with work. Today was actually my first day of like not having much work to do outside of writing with my fanfic and such. But so I took some time to play Phoenix Wright, got back into that because I wanted to just take a small step away from Pokemon Snap for a while so I can come back and enjoy it later. And still enjoy Phoenix Wright, although I'm in one of the cases that I absolutely can't stand. It's called Recipe for Turnabout. There was a murder in a restaurant with a character that you know, and the characters I just feel are a little way too over the top, including a chef who is a muscular guy, dresses and acts like a girl, and it's really confusing. Like, he even refers himself as a girl. I'm like, no, I mean, your facial hair says otherwise, so...
Well, you're wading into hot waters there, sir.
Yeah, don't be careful. And the fact that it's also not common in anime, so yes, be careful, especially in this current climate. Just
I'm not insulting.
You're totally entitled to your opinion, sir. Yeah. I respect it.
If you're 100%. If you're asking about my opinions on trans people, that's for another topic. But I'm saying this game was made long before this very important topic was ever debated. But like just the way that they rendered this character, Jean Armstrong. It just is weird, and they give you know the term bug eyes, where like your iris is all one color.
Yeah.
Oh, like, okay.
They gave him that, and so he has like these brownish eyes that have like no white in them. And like no one caught that. Like no one thought that this guy looks like a bug, and he's acting like a girl. Like really? Like no one caught that. So yeah, not my favorite. Then they have this character named Victor Kuda, who's a Japanese old man who has an infinite ammo code on seeds that he'll throw at you. It's glorious. But his nose is like a giant red ball. And I'm not exaggerating. Like it looks like you have when you're sick and your nose goes all red and it kind of looks like it's stuffy. Well, it actually morphs into a ball and just like hangs off him. I'm like, that's a choice. And don't get me wrong, I know the Phoenix Wright characters often look ridiculous, but most of them at least reside in the realms of reality. I mean, what were they thinking with this old man? I don't know. So, yeah. But I shall endure, and I'm also enjoying Godot in his epic glory. him and his 17 cups of coffee. one of my rules, and his music, which we use, of course, here always on the podcast, so glorious, just dark, dramatic, noir style imposing, and him in the mask, just sniffing the coffee, glorious, glorious. Trials and tribulations, everybody. So yeah,
but I have an important question for you guys.
Yes.
Before, is that the last thing you've played?
I'm sorry. I was gonna mention Fire Emblem Heroes. Just yes, doing the Tempest Trials when I can. I kind of feel for the Saul guy. He's called the Minister of Love because they did the bridal banner, which we talked about.
Oh yeah.
Saul is the Minister of Love, and his thing is that he's always happy to marry off people, but he can never find a girl for himself. So it's like he's the whole always the bridesmaid, never the bride. And I'm like, I kind of feel for the dude. I do. I mean, it's just like he is surrounded by all these epic ladies, and then like apparently none of them want to be with him for one reason or another, and he doesn't seem like a jerk, so he's not like, oh, I don't know, Ferdinand von Eyre.
Whoa!
Yeah. Oh, I said it!
Shots at my favorite character. This is unbelievable.
See, welcome back, Tyler. You missed
this. I'm leaving again.
Try it. So I feel bad for the guy. And then he sees Marth, you know, Marth. And he's like, wait a minute, aren't you, yeah. So we'll see. I'm interested to see how that goes. But yeah, I've just been playing that when I can, and, Tempest Trial. I'm almost back up to 500 orbs. Tyler, you might be amazed at this. Will's like over 700.
That's amazing, and I respect. Now, the bridal banner was not for Will. Like, there was no Camilla. I kind of thought we'd get a Camilla.
So I understand why
you held them.
I'm actually we haven't gotten wedding Camilla.
Now you mention it, we've
gotten every other form.
Yeah, I thought this was the time. It has been like a year since they did a new Camilla form. So.
That's true. And you know that whatever wedding dress she, quote, has on, it's not going to be something that she actually wears.
No, absolutely not.
Come on, we have normal Chris, normal girl gorgeous, so come
that's
on.
That's true. And of course, the outfit where Camilla is literally just in a towel.
So, yeah,
not much of the imagination there.
Well, that was a Tempest Trial unit, so I don't think it would really count in the banner, yeah.
It counts. Mm-hmm. It's a character in the game, Will. It counts.
That's a free unit, so does it really matter? I don't know.
To Camilla fans like you, I'm pretty sure it does. So, anyway, Tyler, what was your question?
This is the most important, because this is really where it's sinking in how long I've been gone for. I have not gotten a new Pokemon Snap yet, because I'm broke. I broke. I don't have any
okay,
money.
Okay, sure.
However, I have come into some money after a nice job well done, and I am thinking about buying a video game with said money, and I am torn between new Pokemon Snap and Shin Megami Tensei.
Okay.
What should I do?
New Pokemon Snap.
Wow.
It's definitely two different games. So
yeah, it's hard to say. That's like saying, hey, do I get Mario or do I get Zelda?
Here's my okay. Yeah, that's a great point by you. And to clarify further, I like Shin Megami Tensei games more. However, Pokemon Snap is like an essential Nintendo title, and you know it's kind of relevant, kind of current. Like I know Nocturne just came out, but it's still a remake of an old game.
Sure.
Like I guess the question is Pokemon Snap like that good? Like
yes.
Am I gonna love it that much?
Have you not read my review?
I actually have not. I apologize for that. Yeah, I've been busy. I didn't even see it was up.
Well, like just for my take of it, as in the review said, it's a very chillax game. It's definitely like something you want to like play after a long day at work, and just like again seeing the interaction of Pokemon. Just like again, it's been 20 years, more than 20 years since the original Pokemon Snap. So if you wanted to get that same nostalgic feel again and like see everybody and these new Pokemon in their new environment, that's the kind of like the arcade feeling that's the same thing from the original Pokemon Snap. So if you want to go and get that same nostalgic feel again, then by all means, definitely get new Pokemon Snap. But if you want to go and get like the whole hardcore RPG that has been has sustained, like really aged very well through the test of time, and why many people have revered Nocturne as the best Shin Megami Tensei game all these years, then yes, I'm still waiting for my copy to come through the mail, but yeah, like Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne is definitely the stuff if you want to get something that's hardcore. So it's again casual versus the hardcore. It's really depending on your pick.
Here's another way of looking at it. It depends on the amount of time you have, obviously, and B, how much time you want this game to take up. Pokemon, new Pokemon Snap will take up however much time you want it to.
Yep.
Like, for example, I beat the game while Will was still on, like, level one of the first levels because he's trying to take every...
As Will would say, that's a surprise. Now,
There's a surprise! So it really is about, like, how long you want to spend in the game. I felt comfortable walking away just because I wanted to have something with a little more depth for now, and then I'll go back to play it later. So if you want a longer game, then obviously go with Shin Megami, because that'll take you months to complete, and then when you're ready, you can go and get new Pokemon Snap.
Right, but if Mario Golf's like just around
and
the corner.
And Mario Golf's around the corner,
yep. That's a great point. That kind of pushed me towards Pokemon Snap, because I can put that down and then enjoy Mario Golf, and then turn back into... Shin Megami.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's a plan.
The best point here is, Tyler, you have options, and that's a glorious thing. And both of and unlike certain other Nintendo titles in recent life, these ones aren't going anywhere.
Yep.
No.
True.
So, make your decision whenever you can, and let us know.
Yes, I will.
Now, thankfully for Tyler, his return. Is hearkened with a bunch of glorious news, including some for his all-time favorite character. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. And, of course, for his all-time favorite character, we are, of course, talking about Celeste! And you have gotten your Celeste review done, haven't you, Tyler?
And her name is Madeline. It's Celeste's name.
Whatever!
It's a common misconception, but...
I've never played the game, that's my mistake to make.
Now, notably, you know, in the time I've been gone, it turns out I don't love Sonic anymore. I'm just not, you know, just not really that into it. You know? Uh-huh. No, I'm very into it.
Yeah. Yes, for those of you who didn't know or haven't looked on the website today, Sega did their first ever Sega Direct. I mean, Sonic Central event to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Sonic the Hedgehog. And it was a thing. So let's do the breakdown step by step like we always do.
I just want to tell the audience, you're getting a hater's perspective right now. You're listening to a hater. This is a
hater.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so let's start off with the fact that this is totally a Nintendo Direct ripoff. But they did go and announce certain things. First of which being was that Sonic is going to be in all sorts of collaborations, which is not odd, but curious for sure. Like they're giving you a Sonic costume in the official Olympic Games thing.
I just want to say that was cursed. That was just simply cursed.
It was laugh out loud funny. Those all of those costumes were laugh out loud funny. They were so bad, it was hilarious.
Yeah. So. Yeah, but then there's going to be content in Lost Judgment. There's going to be, there's going to be potentially Minecraft, because they were teasing a little bit of Minecraft end. Yeah, so make of that what you will. But they're putting Sonic in various places, and it's a weird way to start off a thing that's supposed to be like a true celebration of Sonic. I mean, come on. Like you couldn't have started off like at least Nintendo Directs, they usually start off with an epic game thing. So like, what are you doing here, guys? Come on. So that was a thing. Then they honestly straight up ripped off Nintendo. They're doing a 30th anniversary Sonic Symphony.
yeah.
And for the record, yes, I know that Square Enix did this with their Final Fantasy franchise, but I'm pretty sure Nintendo did it first and did it better. All right. Talking to you, Splatoon fans, you know what's up. So there's going to be an orchestra, there's going to be Crush 40, and it's going to be 100% free, which I do appreciate. It will be on June 23rd of this year, and you'll actually get a small hint of it at the Summer Games Fest, so stay tuned for that. Let's see. So, oh yeah, Two-Point Hospital. I mean, come on, like shameless... Shameless Sonic promotion, ladies and gentlemen. Like, what is this?
Yeah, like that, of course. And well, there's also the toys, the art books, as well as that jewelry collaboration, which, like, gotta admit, okay, the jewelry was not too shabby.
Let's not knock the jewelry. That was dope.
No, merch is always appreciated, okay? It doesn't matter what franchise you're a part of. Okay, I mean, there are some franchises I don't think there should be part of. But, like, for Sonic, yeah, merch, absolutely. That's all fine. Because there's going to be people who want the Sonic plushies, who want the Sonic, you know, backpacks and hats and everything, and the shoes. Have they made Sonic shoes?
Oh, yeah.
They had to make Sonic shoes. So, like, that's fine. I'm totally fine with that. Okay, now let's get to arguably one of the more interesting announcements. And it's an actual game that Sonic is a star of. Sonic Colors Ultimate. I'm very curious about your thoughts on this, Tyler.
Yeah, so Sonic Colors is like one of the community's more favored Sonic games, and it reviewed really well. I like Sonic Colors. I don't love it. I like Unleashed more. I think I even like Lost World more. That's an unpopular opinion. It's a very unpopular opinion. A lot of people don't like Lost World. It was a little janky, but I felt like they were on to something with Lost World. Whereas to me, Colors felt a little heartless. It was a good game, though. Very solid, good platforming. His double jump's still a little weird in that game. But if they were going to remake a Sonic game, this is a double-edged sword. Because if it's just a total... We're just bringing this game from 2010, which wasn't that long ago. It was long ago, but not that long ago to 27-year-old people like me. There's a chance that they make it really good, and they like improve it, and it becomes they add that heart that I said was missing to it. There's also a chance that it's just the same game, and I'd rather them just remake Adventure 2. So that's kind of where I'm at on it. I will have to see what the new stuff is. I'll probably buy it just to support Sonic because, you know, that's just the type of person that I am. But I was not thrilled. This was rumored, though. I was kind of prepared for it. So I was certainly not like, oh, man, of all the remakes, because I kind of had it coming.
All right, so this one is coming out on September 7th. It will be on the Switch. It was confirmed by Nintendo and Sega. As for the additional content, they did talk about some of it. Mainly it's about the movie content, because you're going to be able to get a Baby Sonic keychain. Uh-huh. And then there's a Digital Deluxe Pack, which will include early access, exclusive music, gold and silver wearables, exclusive player icons, a Sonic movie boost. Okay. And I don't know. It seems like this is just going to be like, you know, a slight remaster, because it was on the Wii, so the graphics obviously weren't the best back then for the console. So, you know, it'll look better. Maybe it will play better, but I don't know. So, but the other addition to this is that Roger Craig Smith, who is Sonic, again. What happened exactly? Because I mean, I remember his heartbreaking post, and now it's like, oh yeah, that didn't happen. I'm back as Sonic. Like,
I would love to know what happened. They must have thought that they were going to get Ben Schwartz to voice him in the games too, and like his agent was like, yeah, we're not in the same universe on what we're getting paid for this. That's got to happen.
Or the fan outcry for, you know, Roger Craig Smith.
I don't think there was a big fan outcry for Roger Craig Smith, though.
Really? I thought there was.
I mean, some people, like for any voice actor, I don't think it was a special, oh, there's a lot of people like me who are like, I think it's time to bring in a new voice. So, I don't know.
Well, either way, he's back, and he announced Sonic Colors Rise of the Wisps. And it's a two-part animated short series. And it'll feature a brand new story that actually leads into Sonic Colors, apparently. And it'll feature one of the Wisps... Wisps! That's such a word. Going and getting Sonic and Tails to go and save the Wisps from Dr. Eggman, of course. And it'll be fully voice acted. So, and they actually showed a brief clip of Episode 1, including the return of Metal Sonic. Was Metal Sonic in the original game?
No, he was not.
Okay, so this is something exclusive to the animated series, so that'll be interesting enough. The first episode is coming out this summer, so that'll be something. Moving on to Sonic Origins. I'm sure Tyler's a big fan of this. They're going to be putting together a bundle pack, not unlike, wait a minute, a Nintendo game, like, oh, I don't know, Super Mario 3D All-Stars?
Collections have been done.
I'm joking. That was a joke! That one was a joke, yes. Collections have been done forever. Including, you know, the first one in Super Mario All-Stars. I'm just saying.
Good point.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm the host. So, in this one, there will be Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Sonic the Hedgehog 3, Sonic & Knuckles, and Sonic CD. So that's 5 games in one system, and they're not, to be clear, they're not updating the graphics or anything. These are the like the original graphics and whatever, but there will be additional content of some kind, probably along the line of a Sonic Mania thing. And it'll allow you to, you know, play the games on your modern console, so you don't have to like dig up your old Sega or whatever. And yeah, and then for those who want Sonic Mania, Sonic Team Racing, and Sonic Forces, they are on PlayStation Now and Luna. What's Luna? I don't remember.
I have no idea.
I don't know. So there's that. So go. Oh, and then they were talking about Sonic Mobile, Sonic Dash. Pirate outfits, like, because yeah, that's what we want.
That was hilarious. Some of the stuff that was in here, and now this is a not great copying of Nintendo Directs. Some of the stuff that was in here were like, I mean,
yeah,
the pirate outfits. We needed to talk about this.
Yeah, and then like there's Sonic, they have like a Sonic Unleashed outfit for one of the games. I'm like, people hated that game outside of Tyler, so
no, that game in the Sonic like fandom, in the Sonic fandom, Unleashed is very popular. In the average gamer world, not so much.
Yeah.
The half the game is great and half the game is atrocious. And
which would be the Unleashed werewolf form.
The werehog stuff is awful in my opinion. It's just really boring. But the daytime Sonic, like that's one of those daytime stages are the best of the boost formula. Like it's a really good game half the time, and half the time it's trash.
All right, so then we had our first, I want to call it look, but tease of what Sonic Prime will be. Now, Sonic Prime is the animated series that's coming to Netflix by Man of Action, who, of course, are the team behind Ben 10 and multiple other things. I didn't realize they did Big Hero 6, but okay. According to the head guy, the story is going to be completely original. Sonic is trapped in a place called the Shatterverse. And he's going to have to endure some hardships, have redemption of some kind. And the first, they didn't specify if it's a multi-season thing, but they said 24 episodes. So that's something. Then Robotnik, or Eggman, however you want to call him, he will be in there and has this really interesting new logo that you know, I'm sure the people are going to try and break down in one form or another. So, Tyler, what did you think of this? I mean, Sonic's had a lot of animated series over the years.
Yeah, so I'm into it. It's hard to say how they're going to be. I didn't watch Boom. I didn't really I didn't watch Sonic X either.
However,
their recent animated stuff, like the Team Sonic Racing shorts and Sonic Mania shorts, those were really, really fun. And I know this isn't going to be exactly like that, but the movie was really good too. So I have hope for this. I'm going to have to check it out. But it may not end up being for me. It may be more for kids, but it's something I'm interested in. I'm not going to write it off.
Yeah, and that one's coming out in 2022. So we have time to find out more about it. And then finally, there's the teaser that everyone's talking about. In kind of positive ways, because the one more thing Nintendo Direct ripoff was that Sonic Team is indeed working on a brand new Sonic title that is coming out in 2022, and they gave the briefest of teasers to make you wonder what the heck is going on. And I'm rewatching it right now, and all I can think of is I think Sonic's going to cyberspace.
It looks like a jungle.
No, but okay, yes, he's running in a jungle, but if you rewatch, I'm rewatching the teaser like right now, but like if you rewatch the teaser as he's running, what is coming off of him? It's like digital fragments and code, and then he just straight up disappears into what looks like blocky code lines, kind of like fractal codes. So maybe, I don't know.
I mean, the current speculation right now from what I see is basically like this is, apparently like Sonic has the powers of Infinite from Sonic Forces, apparently. So, I don't know, maybe he has that same time bend or space bending power of sorts. That's the current speculation right now from the fan
base. And then even if you look at the slide where it shows like 2022, it looks like computer fractals like going everywhere. So, and then it does the whole like cutting out like a television. So
that's a good point. I'll have to rewatch it, but I'll give you that. They might be onto something.
I don't know. But look, for me, I haven't played a Sonic game in a while. I play Sonic and Smash Brothers sometimes, but I wasn't exactly overwhelmed by this because they started out with collaborations, which didn't really need to be there. The sympathy thing is only for diehard fans, let's be honest. The merch, that's fine. We all love merch. Sonic Colors Ultimate was curious. I don't know why they decided to make that the focus, even with the animated short. Hearing about Prime, that was fine. I like that. It makes it, you know, show that Sonic, you know, is really all-encompassing in media. And then the teaser was exactly what was, as we were talking about before the podcast, it was Metroid Prime 4 all over again. You know, what does it all mean? When are we going to see more? You know, that kind of thing. So, as a casual gamer in regards to Sonic, at least, it was a bit underwhelming. I mean, they were making a big deal. Sonic Central, you know, first ever 30 years of Sonic, and this is what you give us, exactly? You know, one definitive game released coming this year, and then a teaser for one that comes next year that we won't find out about for potentially a while. Really?
Well, my hater friend here, I'm not going to say that, like, I was screaming with joy for this. It's been a long time since we've had Sonic news. I had very much hoped that the 3D game that they would show would come out this year. So seeing 2022 was definitely a bit of a bummer. Seeing No Mania 2, that's a bit of a bummer. I kind of thought there was an outside chance that we'd get that here. It wasn't the greatest presentation in the world. However, Nintendo Directs is what we've been comparing it to, and Nintendo Directs are all of Nintendo. This is just a Sonic the Hedgehog thing, and when you look at it that way, we've got a new game announcement coming out next year. We've got a compilation coming out with enhancements of, you know, the throwbacks, a great way to play all the old games on new devices, which is fine. We'll see what the price point is. That they may add stuff. We'll see. But that's pretty cool. I'm definitely getting that. And then Sonic Colors Ultimate, which could be really good, especially if you haven't played that game and if those enhancements that they're bringing in are good. So I didn't walk away thinking, oh, that was a bummer or no good. I feel like it was pretty good. I mean, not great, but it was pretty good. And when we see more stuff about the new game, which who knows, maybe we'll see something about it at E3. I doubt it, but maybe we will. That will kind of color how I view this event in retrospect. Because, I mean, I think it was fine. It was 15 minutes long, and it went by quickly. I didn't skip through anything. You know, it was pretty good.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty much in the same realm. Like, it was a quick presentation. They didn't really have too much to say. I mean, again, the first thing is the cameos, the Easter eggs, as well as with their mobile games and everything else. I mean, like, okay, fine. Then, as you said, and the merch, the jewelry, not bad, of course. And the game itself, like, again, the collection, Sonic Colors Ultimate, and of course the teaser games. I mean, for what it is, it's not bad. It's not gonna blow anybody out of the water. But the fact they're making a new Sonic game, I mean, that's probably the best thing they could end it upon. So overall, I mean, not mind blowing, but it did its job. It's done its job.
And they claim that there's more Sonic news to come this year. So this will, yes. This will be interesting for sure.
One more important detail, though, the title of the new game may have gotten leaked. Sonic Rangers. There's an internal press release that got released, and they're calling it Sonic Rangers. So that might not be the final name, but there's a chance that that's what it's called.
Rangers.
Rangers. So plural.
Yes.
Curious. All right, and apparently there was another certain gaming event video thing. Tyler, take it away.
I apologize. I was reading that Sonic Rangers. It just came across my timeline. Yes. So this other thing that's very exciting, the Dragon Quest event. That's the very exciting.
Yes, Tyler. It is.
Yes. So this was cool. It was at 11:30 on Wednesday night, which is an odd time to have an event. I know it's different in Japan and Dragon Quest, a Japanese series, but I stayed awake to watch it. They announced some really cool stuff here. They announced Dragon Quest XII. Didn't say which platforms it was coming to, but given the success of 11S on Switch, I would imagine that that is going to be in the cards. I would think this is going to come to Switch. We also got a Dragon Quest III remake in the Octopath Traveler HD 2D style. That looked tremendous. Another spin-off title called Dragon Quest Treasures. I'm doing this off the top of my head. I very much apologize if there's an error. But Dragon Quest Treasures features Eric and his sister Mia from Dragon Quest XI as the main characters. It's a prequel of sorts to Dragon Quest XI, and it's going to be very much a Dragon Quest traditional style game. They're saying Dragon Quest XII will be have some modified combat systems, so that'll be interesting to keep an eye out for whether it's still traditional turn-based or what they mix up. But Treasures is going to be your classic Dragon Quest experience. And then they did announce additional items, which I need to Google because they were not as exciting and mostly were not for here. They announced Dragon Quest X for Japan. They were changing. I think it's an online-only game, and now it's an offline as well. But let me pull that up and get the rest of the facts for you here. Will, are you a Dragon Quest fan?
I mean, I respect it. I actually have to actually play one of the games. I know my cousin has it in his Switch, so I probably should try it out one of these days. But I respect it. I respect it.
I've played 7, and it was great, but I haven't played anything other than... Oh, I played Joker on 3DS, but it wasn't as good.
Yeah, I finished 11 finally during the time that I was away, and I enjoyed it, but it went on for too long. I have bad news. If you get a new computer and Microsoft Edge is the exclusive thing and your Bing is your default browser, you should change it to Google Chrome because putting up recap will not let me find the rest of this news. But just know it was not as important as the
then we can move on.
Did announce. Yes, we can.
And also, for since Tyler didn't say it, the Dragon Quest XII is called the Flames of Fate.
Yes, the Flames of Fate.
Yeah, and they did this very fiery 12 sigil, just kind of like Sonic did with his, you know, running through the forest and creating, you know, those markers, and Metroid Prime did with floating in the fourth through the space clouds. Yeah, so get over yourselves, game companies. We get it. That's how you like to tease things, okay? Stop it. All right, moving on to the arguably other biggest piece of news of the week, Nintendo Switch Pro, however you want to call it. We, of course, had yet another rumor, and this one was a big one because an apparent leak from Bloomberg, of all places, says that Nintendo will begin assembly of its new Switch as soon as July and release the upgraded replacement for its 4-year-old game console in September or October, end quote. So it says it's likely to be more than $300, which was the original price point of the Switch. We might get announcement during E3, but that's not confirmed. And so eventually the regular Switch mod, like the ones that we all have right now, those will be phased out, but Nintendo Switch Lite will continue to exist. So yeah,
I'm very excited to mod my current Switch with Smash Bros stuff so I can train better because our training mode stinks. This was jarring. I saw this yesterday, and I truly refuse to believe that it's true that at this point we are on the same like the Wii U released in 2012. The Switch released in 2017.
Yes,
the same amount of days of the entire Wii U's life. The Switch is that old. The Switch is as old as the Wii U's lifespan. This is wild. This is wild.
That doesn't seem right.
It doesn't seem right, but like, listen, I did the math. I trust the person on Twitter who did the math, I should say. It's unbelievable.
Well, wait a minute. You said that the Wii U came out in 2012, right?
Yeah.
When in 2012?
It came out in, I believe, December of 2012.
Okay, then that
November 18th.
Okay, then that covers it, because I'm like, wait a minute, even if we're just doing, like, rounding up, that's 5 years difference, but because it released in November, that's another 9 months, because the Switch was in October, sorry, it was in March, so yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
but yeah.
How is that possible?
because the Wii U sucked so badly in sales that they didn't do the full console system life. Like, the Wii was, like, what? That was 20, when was the Wii?
The Wii came out in 2006.
So that was, you know, give or take about 6 years before that, because the console system is about 6 to 7 years depending on the system, give or take. And then so the Wii was about 6 years, and then they cut that down for the Wii U because they just weren't selling. So that makes sense. I mean, it's weird because, you know, we started the podcast during the Wii U era, And now here we are 4 years into the Switch era, and we're talking about how it's already outlasted the Wii U, so that's kind of crazy to think about.
It is, but to me this is like confirmation almost of the Switch Pro. Like, it's time. How, I mean, it's so time to have a new console. I think that they could have released a brand new piece of hardware, and it would have been like, yeah, that's sort of right, like a little early, but that's kind of how long a console lasts.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. It's absolutely wild to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, as I said, like, in last week and prior podcast, like, yeah, this is pretty much inevitable, if anything else. Just, like, we're all expecting that power upgrade because, like, as much as we love the base Switch model as it is right now, we always want it to be a little bit more better. I mean, we want to have our games to run so much more better, as well as, like, heck, once we have Breath of the Wild 2 and as well as the other games to run actually much more better, then, yeah, I think that's kind of like a benefit of anything else. So, yeah, I'm just waiting for that release right now, honestly.
Well, it's, as in all things, they have to, you know, gauge when they feel when to come out. So, like I said, between the Wii and the Wii U, they only did 6 years. They could have done 7. I mean, yes, the Wii was already getting, you know, less titles, like, even with Zelda being out there, but it was still very popular. It was still one of their best-selling consoles ever. So if they wanted to, they could have very easily gone and, you know, extended that a year. And then I'm looking up the GameCube. The GameCube came out in 2001, so they're actually very consistent. So that was 5 years between that and the Wii. And then they did 6 years between Wii and Wii U. So, yeah, they're right on time, give or take. So
that's the thing with, like, you don't want to re-release. Like, a Switch Pro 2 years ago was probably too soon just because the momentum was so high for the Switch. People who had just bought one would feel ripped off. But now, I mean, it's going to be 4.5 years. I think that's time for – I don't feel bad about upgrading my hardware at that point. Like, you'd be hard-pressed to feel ripped off at that point. I mean, gotten a lot out of your current Switch model.
But my caution, as I've said this before, is I don't want this to be a new Nintendo 3DS XL where it's like it's got, like, slightly better graphics. Oh, it's got a bigger screen and everything. I'm like, that's fine, but if I don't really notice the difference, which a lot of people on the new Nintendo 3DS XL said they, you know, it didn't really matter as much as you'd think, I was fine playing with on my smaller screen. Was a bigger screen a bit better? Sure. But was it everything to me? No. It was always about the games. And so as long as they don't screw the those of us who aren't going to upgrade or who can't afford to upgrade, then I'm fine with them having the Pro Edition, but it better be meaningful, and they better not pull that whole, oh, only available on the new Nintendo Switch Pro, because that will take off now 80 million of their users, so I don't think they'll do that, but or 85 million of their users, so We'll have to see.
We will. It's a tough spot, because I think for third parties, it will come into play where they're going to be, this, you can only play this on the new console. It just depends on what the upgrade is.
And I was about to say, like, now, like, with the other systems kind of, like, still struggling with the PS5 supply line, I think it's probably actually a good time to actually capitalize, if anything else. So I think maybe a good timing on Nintendo's part.
Yeah. And actually is a perfect segue into the other thing, was that another report came out that as of right now, the Switch is still the best-selling console around, like, compared to both monthly and on the year so far, it's outselling everything. So even with the new consoles, with all their hype about better graphics and whatever, yes, they're dealing with shortages, so did the Switch, and it came out, if you recall, but it's still trouncing all of them. So, yeah, go Switch. And again, this is a rumor. Yes, it is by Bloomberg, but remember, I remember Bloomberg reporting on the Nintendo Switch Pro like years ago. When they said, oh, yeah, this is totally happening, this is totally coming out, and then nothing happened. Or, you know, Nintendo wouldn't confirm anything. So, until E3 or whenever this is announced, it's just a rumor.
Okay?
Let's be smart about this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, it's a rumor.
I was like, we don't want to be a Grinch, now do we, Tyler?
You know what, I'm going to leave.
Okay, moving on to Monster Hunter. Because, yes, that game, Monster Hunter Rise specifically, because as Will alluded to, there is a new update pack for it. And according to Capcom, the game has surpassed 7 million copies worldwide shipped, or whatever, which was pretty quick because at the end of April it was at 6 million. So this game, it must be good. Like, we always question, you know, whether games are actually good. Like, you know, like what happened with Call of Duty, or, you know, certain like hyped pre-ordered games like Last of Us Part 2 or whatever. But this one has to be good because, and I know you two have played it, because it went from like 3 million at launch to now we're already at 7 million. Something's going right with this game.
I think, like, what the research is, I think they pretty much can explain it, but it's just overall the gameplay loop, and of course with constant updates, with the update 3.0, and they added the Valstrax, which is basically the final boss in Monster Hunter Generations, is just overall it's just continuously pumping content, pumping new monsters. As well, they finally added the quote unquote new ending to this game. So I mean, there is the basic ending for the main hub quest. I mean, single player, and then now you can actually get the quote-unquote next ending for the multiplayer quest, which it's about time, and hopefully we get some sort of explanation. I mean, that's the only thing I can't wait to really explain, to finally beat the last boss again, but in proper form now, so we actually get some sort of closure. So it's just the content's there, just helping other people, and just the gameplay loop is just that addicting. That's how Monster Hunter gets you. And again, the fact that it's just running on Switch is magical.
Yeah, my I'm at a dangerous point with Monster Hunter right now because I haven't played it for a while, and it didn't suck me in like I hoped that it would. I just feel like the tutorials aren't good enough. If they were better, I think I would. I have to get back into it and keep giving it a chance. It's just the pretty much every weapon for me feels a little bit slower than I would like, a little bit more, I don't know, the movement is fun I feel like if I really mastered it, it would be a ton of fun, but even just having the basics, it's enjoyable. But I don't know, I just, something didn't quite click for me, and like, I know this is a great game, everybody says this is a great game, I feel like if I just keep at it, I will be like, oh, now I get it, now I'm addicted. But like you said, it's the gameplay loop, I'm not sure what I should be doing in between each mission, you know, like, I can't even track when I get stuff from beating a monster, like, I don't know what it is, I'm doing with it. Like, I'll go to a guy and be like, here's some leather, but I don't know where I got that leather from, you know, in my brain, things just sort of happened, and I wish the game was more active in holding your hand and saying, hey, you got this from this. This will do this. And you can use it for XYZ. And I think I'd enjoy it more. But it's definitely a really great game. It's just more daunting than I thought it would be for a beginner to get into.
And to be fair, yes. Because unfortunately, the source is just a full-on text box and doesn't actually demonstrate anything. So I'll give you that much. But I actually just recently saw Arlo's review. And it pretty much kind of like got it right. Like, obviously, the Monster Hunter fan community is definitely there. It's available if you need to ask help for them. And, like, in regards to that whole item thing, like, if you want to go for a certain armor set, you actually can pin that armor set to actually, like, keep track of what materials you get. And once they have the certain amount of materials, it actually alerts you that you can make it. So that's kind of, like, one of the quality of life change. You can actually do that.
That is nice. I think I just don't get why I would want to make certain armor sets. You know, it's just like it's there. I go to the old guy, I give him some stuff to upgrade, and then, you know,
it's because like there certain armors that obviously have certain stats and certain abilities. Like for example, you saw me with the Megmalo armor. Like that thing obviously has the Counter Strike, but it has horrible water resistance. So obviously elemental resistance. That's also part of the game. So like you want to have like multiple sets, basically cover yourself, or you want to make some new weapons to suit your needs. And you said like some things were sluggish. I definitely highly suggest the dual blades, since that is the quickest weapon of them all if you want to get the speed output. So I highly recommend that. But yeah, I think it's just like Arlo kind of said it in his review. It's like once you have like can actually do learn it, definitely give it time. It's definitely you want to be patient with it, if anything else. Like, yeah, it's daunting. The menus, I was at first because like I haven't played Monster in such a long time, but again, just keep at it, learn it bit by bit, and just like the things you gather, you will get. It basically, it feels like you are progressing to something, even though you're not. There is no set goal. Like you still collect items, you still collect ores, all that materials, but you still feel like it is contributing to something. So down the line, it will help you out. So overall, it's just that: be patient, give it some time, learn skills, and who knows? Maybe you'll get it, maybe you don't. Who knows? But it's definitely a game that once you invest the time in, you probably will understand like the whole scheme of Monster Hunter.
As far as third parties go, this was a slam dunk to be successful on Switch, but it's still great to see it being as successful as it is.
Yeah. All right, moving on. We have another major piece of news that kind of came out of nowhere because for the last week or so, there's been these rumors that there's going to be another Pokemon Presents coming out in the early parts of June, possibly before E3, just to save Nintendo some time. And then Nintendo yesterday just went, nope! We're just going to give you everything right now. So Pokemon Legends Arceus is going to come out on January 28th, 2022. And then there is Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, which is coming out on November 19th of this year. Yay! So, I don't know why they just decided to drop this. Like, this wasn't even presented. It was two tweets. I was telling you it was four tweets.
Just a casual bomb.
Yeah. It's like, hey, yo, here's our gaming info. Dope. That's it. Like, and I'm even looking at the tweets right now. One of them says, this is the entire tweet: Pokemon Legends Arceus, January 28th, 2022. Emoji. Pre-orders available now. Link, picture done.
Yep. Pretty much.
And there was a longer one, obviously, but that's not the point.
Yeah, and like regarding to the whole remake, they also announced in the tweet they're gonna do a pull of Sword and Shield, and basically if you want to get both games, there actually is a bundle pack for both games, which Nintendo, you're not gonna get me again. You're not gonna get me.
They're like the same price too, which is like saves you like $2 on taxes. Like, it's not even like it's a deal for getting one of them. It's still like $80. It's gonna be $100. I think that you got the double pack, right?
Connor? I got the double pack. It was about like a roughly one. Yeah, pretty much the same price of $120. Yeah. So yeah,
ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't. I really don't know why they did this. They just announced it. Like, okay, like, I'm not mad, but it was just like they were all the rumors were saying, including like one like right before the announcement came that hey, there's gonna be a major Pokemon Presents event. And they're just like, nah. Here's the dates for you. Hope you enjoy. And I do enjoy. I do. But really, like, no trailer announcement. No, like, 1 minute thing saying, you know, Pokemon Diamond and Pearl. Pff, there's your date. Pokemon Legend Arceus. Pff, there's your date. Nope. Just there. Okay.
Yeah. Like,
try harder.
I don't know what Pokemon Company is thinking. I mean, maybe they're just like, okay, let's drop this thing and just focus on it. Like, okay, you can no drum fare, no build up, no nothing. Just like, okay, here's the tweet. Now we just go back on developing the game. Just like, okay. I mean, granted, I'm glad they have a release date for Legends Arceus, which, okay, fine. At least we have a good target date, but everything else, again, with the remakes as well as that dual pack, like, okay, fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the box art looks nice. I mean, they went.
Box art looks great.
It looks, especially Diamond and Pearl, like having like the 3D models being the focal point. And then, let's be honest here, Legends Arceus totally just did a Link's Awakening with the mountain in the background. All they're missing is the egg. The egg that would hold Arceus.
Yes,
I'm just 100%. Saying. It's right there. It's right there. So, I'm excited, though, because not only does this confirm, hey, we are having a big-ish title, remaster or not, in November, so that sets up 1 month for us, and now we hope that E3 will go and, you know, fill out the rest of the dates, and then we don't have to wait too long into 2022 to get the first big game of the year, more likely. So, yeah. It's just so weird that they did it this way. Like, I woke up because, well, when was it? It was announced at like 8 a.m., right? So I wake up, I do a Twitter scroll, and I'm pretty sure I stopped like right at 8:05. And so I missed it. And then I do my thing, I work out, and by the time I get back to my computer, it's 11. And then I'm seeing, oh, Pokemon Legends Arceus is coming out in, you know, this date. I'm like, wait, what? When was that announced? I miss one thing on Twitter, and the whole thing, the whole internet erupts. Nice job. So
they do almost always do a Pokemon Presents right before E3, like a week before it. So it is odd. I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine, given how packed the Pokemon schedule is, that they have anything more. And maybe they're going to give us a look at all the games, but it is weird. I completely agree. I was very surprised.
Yeah. I don't know. That wasn't the only Pokemon thing, though. This is a little bit of a more fun news thing. New Pokemon Snap got a honest trailer. And it was beautiful. And first of all, they totally mislabeled it. They called it Pokemon Snap Honest Trailer, but it was New Pokemon Snap Honest Trailer. And I'm actually a little disappointed, because I would have loved for him to review the original, and then next week do the upgrade, and then compare the two. But, yeah. Anyway, this one was hilarious, because it totally called out some fun things for the fans and fun things for the game, such as how Nintendo totally forgot about this franchise, and we did not! We, the fans, never forgot about Pokemon Snap, okay? And it took us 20 years of complaining on the internet and plenty of Reddit threads, but we got our game. You're welcome. And, on the shooting Pokemon? With the camera! What did you think we meant by shooting? So that was funny. And then my personal favorite was the completely on point joke about the arbitrary graph or rating system. There's a thing called rule of thirds, moron. and I took a photography class in college. It was an actual requirement for my digital media degree, and so that's why I was really frustrated about the rating system in the game, because it's complete bullcrap. I would get F's for these pictures, and yet I'm getting like 4-star diamonds. Like, why, monsters? Like, learn photography. Hire a photographer to do the rating system. Like, you're telling me that with the infinite wealth that Nintendo has, they couldn't have hired an actual photographer to come and say, okay, like, this one I would give, like, a gold star. You know, this is 2 gold stars. This is a diamond shot. Like, come on! Where's your authenticity, Nintendo?
Right, like, I agree with, like, some, like, other reviewers out there. It's like, yeah, like, okay, there's, like, this one shot I'm so very proud of. Nope, gets a bronze. What?
Yeah.
And the fact you had to choose one shot out of the entire like gallery that you shot, and yeah, they had to throw them away. Like, and you try so hard to replicate that shot again. Like, we can't save them or submit them in the next round. Like, ooh.
Yeah, but the honest trailer was fun. I wrote it up for the website. I love these honest trailers. Like, I have like every day, but Thursday and technically the weekend, but I have other things to do on the weekend. I have something to enjoy. Mondays and Wednesdays are Death Battle. Tuesdays are Honest Trailers. Friday is Death Battle again. But like, I love like watching the movie Honest Trailers and then the gaming Honest Trailers, because there's always something. And did you see the one for Resident Evil 7, Will?
I think so. Yeah.
I mean, 8. I sorry. Or Village.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Uh-huh, yep.
That was a thing. That was the thing. Anyway, so if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's really funny, but he did acknowledge that the game is good, as I acknowledged, and hopefully Tyler will acknowledge once he plays the game, or maybe he'll pull a Xenoblade Chronicles 2. I don't know. So, yeah, I'm hitting all. I have a checklist, Tyler. I'm hitting all the classics today. Just wait for me to mention Splatoon 2. You know what's coming.
That's fine. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. All right, and finally, and thankfully, we can debunk this thanks to Tyler. Daddy Sakurai, there was a rumor that he was planning a potential early retirement, which naturally got a whole bunch of fanboys, you know, not happy, but this is not true, right, Tyler? He said this was mistranslated.
Yes, he tweeted out that the people are interpreting this in a lot of different ways, but it's he's not planning an early retirement. I can pull up the exact tweet from him, but it wasn't saying this is totally fake news, but it was also people are reading too much into this.
Yeah. So, and look, we were talking about this before the podcast, but if Daddy Sakurai wanted to retire now, like after he gets done with Smash, no one's really going to fault him for it. We're going to be disappointed because we know he could totally make more games, including potentially the next Smash Bros. Title, whenever that may be. But this guy has literally put his life on the line for Nintendo. All right, he was working on games with an IV in his arm. That should be like against a Geneva Convention. I'm pretty sure it's against some laws, but whatever. You know, this is a guy who has worked so hard on so many games and pushed himself beyond the realms of health to make the game as perfect as possible. All right. He deserves to just relax for like a year. Not do gaming, or outside of actually just playing games. Not do game development, not do, you know, the Sakurai Presents or having to film anything or editing anything. You know, just give him a year. So let him do Smash Brothers. It'll be done soon enough. And then give him a year off, Nintendo. Just let him do whatever he wants. You know, the world will be mostly opened up by then. You know, let Daddy Sakurai heal. And then when he comes back, then he can, you know, get back into making games that we love. But
this tweet is the most Sakurai tweet of all time.
By all means.
It seems that some of the summaries are written as thinking about old age and quitting the column. But it's different, ! I don't know what the future holds, but I'm not retiring from the gaming industry, period. Maybe, all uppercase, period.
Yeah, that sounds like that, Daddy Sakurai, right?
That's Sakurai.
That's our father.
And, yeah, like, you pretty much nailed it right there, Todd. Like, Sakurai is just, ever since since the creation of Smash Brothers, like, again, he, as you said, it was basically a lifelong promise to the late Iwata. And again, now the fact that Ultimate is the Ultimate Smash Brothers game, like, he said so in his interview. Like, again, he feels like this game is pretty much the game that fulfills his Iwata's request. So if he ever will make another Smash Brothers games, it won't be the same. And the fact that, yeah, as you pretty much nailed it. It's just he goes through so much, and it's even with like recording the Smash Directs for us the fans, and showing off the amiibos, and just like even showing us his house to the fans. It's just like, again, you don't see that kind of passion rarely, if anything else, anywhere else in the gaming industry. So, like, yeah, just let the guy rest. If he wants to go retirement, like, I will not blame him. Like, the fans, it's his life, and who knows how long we have left living on his life, unfortunately, because like the last thing we want to have is another like early death, if anything else. So yeah, if Sakurai wants to do what he wants, let him do what he wants.
And I know what you're thinking. I do. But what if this Nintendo made it worth his while? You know, like giving him whatever game he wanted to make next, or giving him a raise or whatever. But ladies and gentlemen, let us settle this once and for all. Love is more important than money.
Yeah.
That was fixed, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows it was fixed.
I don't know.
Rigged.
I'm pretty sure we could trump that assertion. So, all right. So, but again, according to Daddy Sakurai, this is not true. ... Maybe. All right. And with that, we head now into our main event. So far, we've shown you our hopes for E3. Our definitive what we want for first party. And this week, as Tyler returns, we are going to be talking about the third parties for Nintendo. Because with the Switch, the third parties have done extremely well, at least in my opinion, with their titles from Mario & Rabbids to Octopath Traveler to Astral Chain and certain others. And with the new consoles, they're no doubt going to be focusing on them, but the Switch is now 85 million strong. They've got to be releasing some things. So what ones do we want to see? What ones are we hoping to see? What developers are we hoping to see showing us something surprising? Let's discuss this on the road to E3. And Tyler,
yes.
Since you've had weeks to dread, or not dread, but you know, be sad that you haven't been on the road to E3 with us.
Yeah, I have been sad about this. I really wanted to be here for last week's, but it wasn't in the cards.
It's all right. It's like you got a cab and you caught up to us. So, what are you personally hoping to see from the third parties at E3 2021 for Nintendo?
My third party E3 prediction is based around, again, just rumor, but the Switch Pro being real. Because I think a lot of developers are kicking themselves for not jumping on the Switch bandwagon earlier. And they're not going to miss out on getting their games on this higher powered device, assuming that it comes out. So I think that we're going to get something from Bethesda. The Fallout 4 possibility is in play. A Fallout compilation is in play, in my opinion. I think that we are going to get something significant from Ubisoft. Perhaps we're looking at a Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle 2. Not 100% committed to that, but I think we're going to see a lot of games that are older that people wanted to bring to Switch, but they couldn't for some technical reason come to Switch on the Pro model with it. This is play this on the Pro or don't get it. One of those situations. That's really the core thing that I'm anticipating. And of course, EA not providing any support because that's just sort of
what we don't need them. That's just we sort don't of need them.
What they do. Specific games are tough to get into. You know, like I think. We've been talking about Persona 5 for so long, and it is baffling that hasn't been brought over. Maybe it was a power thing, and maybe with the new Switch, they will bring that over.
I don't believe it's a power thing, because let me look at the game. It's more stylized than anything. Astral Chain looks more, you know, HD depth than Persona 5.
I agree, but I'm not a game developer, so I think... Look, like Nocturne, for example, has been one thing I've read is it has performance issues. That's a PS2 game, like, and I've heard it has performance issues across various consoles. So I'm sure that the port is just not an unbelievably done port. But I think that there's probably more to it than just meets the eye. I'm not saying that it's impossible to do. We've seen some incredible games, the Doom games being brought over to Switch. Like, it's possible to do a great Switch port. Undoubtedly, but I think it may just be more challenging. And with a stronger model, I think that we might get to see some of those games. But honestly, that aside, I'm not expecting a crazy amount of third-party stuff. I think we will be seeing a lot of reveals for new Switch from third parties, though, just generally speaking. You know, all the hits will be there. The NBA 2K will be there. FIFA will be there. That general vibe.
And I'm sorry, because like earlier you said, like we're probably expecting something Bethesda, but didn't Microsoft earlier this year actually acquire the
private company?
Oh my gosh,
that's a great point. I totally forgot about that. Scratch that. I took that off the table. I completely forgot that.
Then again, we do know that Microsoft and Nintendo have been working together, including on that potential crossover project that's been rumored for about a month or so.
So it's not impossible. It's certainly not impossible. I would think that new games are the ones that they wouldn't want to bring over.
Yeah.
You know, Microsoft might be seeing dollar signs if it's, like I said, a Fallout thing. That could happen still. I guess that's not totally out of play. But good point. I'm glad you mentioned that because I did forget about it.
All right. Will, what about you? What are you expecting third-party-wise?
Third-party-wise, like, if anything else that's... You pretty much nailed it very much, Tyler. Like, many various third-party companies, like, really, like, fully invested into the Switch product. Like, yeah, Ubisoft was definitely one of the early adopters. Atlas, Sega, definitely. Yeah, not as fully. And, of course, naturally, Platinum Games, like, they love the Switch. So, ever since, and, of course, 1-4-1-1. Like, Capcom, obviously, the holdout, and others, like, other companies that just don't know what to do with the Switch, even when it's, if the genesis of the Switch's life. So, if anything, what I expect from the third-party companies to do with the Switch, if anything else, like, I mean, personally, for me, for Sega, like, they have been doing a lot of good things regarding, so like, one, bring the games to PC. And, of course, naturally, it brings some also other games with, like, Nocturne, Persona 5 Strikers to the Switch. So Sega is definitely has that momentum to keep going to, like, bring in certain IPs. And, of course, naturally, with Shin Megami Tensei 5, which we're still waiting for details on, it's, like... Sega definitely works. I expect some things to get from Sega, and even they themselves said like they want to revitalize some old IPs that they have not touched in many years. So again, I know. I obviously put in that Skies of Arcadia license there, but like also just the other licenses like I don't know, Dragon's Golden Axe or like all those classic Sega games that they have not touched in so long ago. So. Sega, I expect probably going to continue on to the Switch train with like platinum games, that's one thing I'm very curious about, because again, everybody's been clamoring about Bayonetta 3. We have not heard anything. Kamiya says, forget about it right now. Just like, wait, we'll tell you when it's ready. And yeah, platinum games, that they're the Mavericks. We noticed they're working on Bayonetta 3, but when we get information, we have no idea. Or who knows, perhaps they even make another teaser project for the Switch. Who knows? I mean, ever since with the Wonderful 101 and everything else, yeah, platinum games, I think they can probably pull off maybe another game, but who knows? I mean, right now, I think the main focus is obviously Bayonetta 3. So I probably expect some platinum games and other, of course, like I know it's under their first party company, but yeah, I know Splatoon 3 is under Nintendo, but I want something more of that. Of course, naturally Metroid is not first party. Sorry. So yeah, overall, it's just like it's really dependent on the companies. I want Sega, I want Platinum Games, but everything else, like Capcom, that they're gonna be the interesting parts. Like if Capcom can really invest, like, okay, we got the collection things here, the Street Fighter things, and just kind of didn't do well, but if they really want to make something like a full-on game for the Switch, I think they will probably do something for the Switch. Here's hoping now they actually have that confidence to actually invest in it, but who knows with them. I mean, with Monster Hunter Rise, with that success of that game, hopefully we finally get something new. I mean, and of course, now they kind of invested with Monster Hunter Stories as well. So yeah, Capcom, I think we may be getting something more out of them. Here's hoping. So yeah, those are pretty much the main players: Sega, Platinum Games, Capcom. That's one thing I expect from them. And who knows, maybe it's like some other indies or anybody else. I'd be surprised if Microsoft actually does improve with Nintendo and, like, I don't know, make a new Banjo-Kazooie or something of that sort. But that's just a pipe dream of mine. So who knows? But yeah, that's what I expect from the third-party companies.
Yeah, especially after the year we've had and everything with 2020 and all the uncertainty in those very, very odd partner showcases. Now is the time for the third parties to come out and say, hey, we really do have a lot of cool things coming to Switch, and here they are. The biggest one, which I'm actually surprised you guys haven't talked about, is Project Triangle Strategy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Square Enix. Yeah, Square Enix. Yeah. Right.
So I would be shocked if that one didn't get another trailer or maybe even another demo. I mean, that would be perfect, you know? Have it during E3 week and, you know, maybe show off a different part of the game and then, you know, offering more advice on how to improve it if possible. And hey, maybe they'll actually give it a good name. So, you know, Scales Conviction, we're just saying, it's right there. So that's definitely one I expect to see. I'm with you, Will. We've got to see Bayonetta 3. I don't care, Kamiya, that you said we have to forget it. We are the internet. We never forget. All right. And you can block me if you want, but I will not forget about Bayonetta 3. Like, it's, how long has this game been promised to us? 2017, right? The first Game Awards after the Switch release. You did the teaser trailer. So something clearly must have happened. You pulled a Metroid Prime 4 on us, you know, before that was even a thing. So we need more of that. Or we need to know that you're working on something else for Switch, like the Astral Chains or, you know, Wonderful 102 or, you know, something else entirely. I don't know what. You guys are weird. So I'll just leave it up to you. I would love Mario and Rabbids 2, Kingdom Battle 2. You know, that was the game that should never have worked. It looked so stupid. We thought the leak was fake, and it wasn't. It was a great game. So maybe they've been wanting to take their time on this, wanted to expand it in a fun way. Now is the perfect time. So good with that. I'm sure we'll get another look at No More Heroes 3, even though we've already gotten its release date announcement. So that's fine. Shin Megami Tensei 5, same thing. So, Capcom, you know what I'm going to say. We need Phoenix Wright 7!
yep.
Where is it? Where is my Ace Attorney 7, all right? If nothing else, you announced for, what was it, July? You announced for July the great Ace Attorney Chronicles. Okay, fine. You've done that now. That's all packaged. So now do a package of the second three Ace Attorney games, Apollo Justice, Dual Destinies, and Spirit of Justice. Package that for the Switch. Then once that's done, you have no excuses but to go and give us Ace Attorney 7 like you know we want. Make it happen. Okay? And then we'll probably see more of The World Ends With You, too. You know, now that the more we say it out loud, you know, third parties have actually already come to play in 2021. I mean, think
that's
about
the
it.
Thing. Project, because I was saving like stuff we already knew, but Project Triangle Strategy, I figure we'll get a big blowout.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, like, think about it. We've already had like a lot of really impressive third party titles on the Switch this year. We've had Bravely Default.
Yeah.
We have had Monster Hunter Rise.
Yep, yep.
Okay. Shin Megami Tensei Nocturne. Fine. 5 is coming out later this year. We're getting No More Heroes later this year. We're getting Greatest Attorney Chronicles and Neo The World Ends With You on the same day. So, like, that's already some pretty high-profile third-party titles, and you know there's going to be at least a few more. So, they've actually done a pretty good job this year, third parties. Nice job! Took you long enough, but okay. So, and okay, now, if you were to guess... To end the segment, if you were to guess about one of these third party developers going and surprising us, giving us a game that we didn't see coming, no rumors, no tie-ins or whatever, what one would you expect to announce it this year at E3 for the Switch?
Well, not Square, because they've announced so many things already. So
that's
I'm
true.
Not expecting anything mind-blowing from Square. I think Bandai Namco is one. They've done a lot of work with Nintendo.
They were no new Pokemon Snap.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that close relationship, they could come up with something that would be like, wow, didn't see that, new IP, something along those lines. That would be where I would bet.
Yeah. Well.
I heard him say, mm-mm.
Yeah, that's all I heard.
sorry. I was checking on something else. Sorry.
Do you have an idea? Do you have a guess on a third party who might surprise us with a new title we haven't heard of?
Like any companies that has that potential of actually surprising us?
Take this one for Will. Don't worry. I'll take this one for him.
Yeah.
I would be shocked if Sega announced Skies of Arcadia.
I mean, that would be a surprise, I'll grant it, because if anything else, I feel like Sega definitely has that potential ever since they are the former rivals of Nintendo. I feel like they can definitely pull that off if they can pull off something very surprising that no one would expect. Or, like, if there's anybody else, man, I don't know this. I feel like there's not many third-party companies out there that would really surprise us. I mean, Platinum Games also has that potential, but again,
yeah,
Platinum Games has always been very out there with their games. But if anyone who's like very crazy, no doubt about it, Grasshopper Studios. But again, they're busy with No More Heroes 3, so like it's really hard to really imagine like what kind of companies that really surprise us for this Nintendo Switch console, if anything else. But that's just my opinion.
All right, I feel like Capcom could pull off something because they always seem to be making like a lot. Like they're working on so many franchises at any given moment. So I feel that they could do something not Ace Return related. Like that, I think that would actually be a lesser thing for them to surprise us with because we've all been wanting it for years. I'm gonna make a bold choice, okay? Bold. Konami.
Ooh.
No, yeah, like they're competent anymore. I mean, come on, let's be honest here. No, I don't know. I think it's interesting that you're dismissive of Square Enix, Tyler, because they, not unlike Capcom, they're working on like 1,000 things at once. You know, Final Fantasy, Dragon Quest, Kingdom Hearts, Project Triangle Strategy.
I discounted them for this category because nothing they do would surprise me. Like, they've done so much great stuff for Switch that I wouldn't be like, you know, I don't like Project Triangle Strategy. Not my fault that I messed that one up. That's
terrible
a bad
name.
that comes out next year.
Right.
And like, that's a big exclusive Switch game.
Right.
And they've announced the Dragon Quest 3 in Octopath style. I know that's coming to everything, but that's coming to Switch for sure.
True.
And Dragon Quest XII has already been announced. Like, there's a lot of stuff in the works already from them. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe we'll have something that's completely out of left field. But I just feel like their plate has got to be full by now.
Yeah, good point.
Mm. And actually, I was just thinking about another studio right now. Bandai Namco. Like, they have been more or less...
Tyler said that.
Really? Bandai Namco?
Yes!
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He said it 3 minutes ago. I know he's been gone for a month, Will, but listen to the man!
Sorry. My mind just went blank. Sorry.
Yeah, I will apologize again, Tyler, because that was just sad. No,
it was rude.
It was offensive.
If he didn't play the beautiful country roads when I came back, I'd be upset. But
sorry, my mind went blank.
John Denver is rolling over in his grave. Okay, how mean. So, and you know the fun thing with E3 is that you know there's always at least one or two. Well, there should be at least one or two surprises. So. They might do something that we're like, oh, I never thought they would do that. Or they might pull like a new Pokemon Snap and say, hey, this third party is making this first party IP. You never know. So, here's one. This is like an honest one. How about Marvel? Because we got Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. So what if they say, hey, you know, since that one sold over a million on Switch, why don't we make another title that's exclusive to them? You know, it won't be, I don't think it'll be on the scale of like, you know, Spider-Man from Insomniac or whatever, but Ultimate Alliance 3 was fun, all right? Unlike one of our former writers, Henry Henshin, said by saying it was a 2.5, how dare you? But, you know, like, when games sell, the developer's like, what can we do next? Ultimate Alliance 3 sold, so maybe Marvel will be like, hey, let's try something else on the Switch. You never know. So,
I have an Insomniac-related thing. I'm glad you mentioned them.
Go ahead.
The Smash Bros. Ultimate character who will be announced is Ratchet and Clank.
Oh, God.
And Rivet as the alternate skin. There will be a Rivet skin, and it's going to be the greatest character in Smash Bros. History.
Uh-huh.
And
that
I'm going to cry.
That would be something. I grant that.
It would be the best.
Now, if you want to talk about real rumors, all right, about Smash Brothers, there was one that actually came out today, because of the Sonic thing. It was they talked about how like you know Sonic Colors is coming, and Sonic Colors Ultimate is coming to Switch, and then the 2022 title is coming to Switch. So because of that, it's obvious that Sonic is going to be in Smash Brothers.
Oh wow!
I know.
How about that?
That's a huge crossover. I mean, that totally wasn't done in 2007.
No.
Heaven forbid. All right. And with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Diamond!
Yeah, you just wanted to yell that at me, didn't you?
Pretty much. I've done it like four different ways over the last couple of weeks.
I'm glad to hear it.
Okay, so this week's poll question, it will be based on our Road to E3 segment, and it will be...
Well, hold on, let me get the results to last week's. It was, how much did you miss Tyler? Choice one was a lot.
100%, not at all.
There wasn't another choice, it was only a lot, uh-huh. And everybody said that.
Uh-huh.
We had 2 million votes.
Right. If that was the case, never mind. I'm not going to make that joke. Anyway, the poll question this week is, what third-party developer would you like to see... announce a surprise game for Switch. Phrase it however you want it, Tyler.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Square Enix, Ubisoft, Capcom, Sega. Cool?
Perfect.
Okay. And of course, let us know what you thought of all the news of the week, from the Sonic Central event to the announcements for Dragon Quest. Do you think that the Switch Pro Talk is real? What about the Pokemon announcements with the release dates? Are you happy that they're coming out? Student, we now know when they're coming. And are you glad that Daddy Sakurai is not leaving us? The answer is an emphatic yes. Yes, yes, more yes. And of course, let us know what your hopes are for the third parties at E3 2021. So, for Delius, Tyler, and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. You made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag.